Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Get me a tequila slammer.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are we doing? All right.
How are you?
Yeah.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
Yeah.
Well, a week, yeah.
A week.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a week.
It feels like we've got a lot to talk about, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
Mark's grown a mullet.
Is it that long? Is it showing?
No.
Is it swishing about when I go like that with my head? And listen, I need to. Listen, I'll tell you about my week.
Oh, right. Here we go.
Let me tell you this story. Right?
Is this a funny story?
You haven't been on train again, have you?
No, it's not a funny story. It's just story. It's
okay.
Just, my stories are never funny.
Well, we think it's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the story. So I'm sat at home last week. It's about 5:10, right? Aina's set off from work. She finishes at 5. She phones me. I'm like, what's happening here? She's like, oh, my car don't work. What's wrong with it? So anyway, she's like a bit of a panic and that. I'm like thinking, I'm not a mechanic, right?
Were you in your pyjamas at this point?
I don't even have pyjamas. Why would I be in pyjamas at 5:10?
What'd you wear? What?
5:10, yeah. Why would you be in pyjamas at 5:10?
Well, sometimes I imagine that Mark don't come out of pyjamas, as in
what?
He gets up.
I think he draws. And he don't
come
I think
you draw
pajamas.
Curtains at 5:15.
Do you know, honestly, I'm having a day of editing, I'll literally get up, put my pyjama bottoms on, a t-shirt and my dressing gown, and I won't take them off.
No, I'm old-fashioned. I get dressed in the morning. There's no pajama.
Shirt and tie.
Yeah. Go and fetch paper.
A smoking jacket on. No, listen, I don't own pyjamas.
I don't own pyjamas.
Don't you?
No.
What do you wear
smoking
at night,
smoking jacket? What, like Hugh Hefner? I could see you in one of them.
What do you wear at night, though, when you're chilling out?
When I'm chilling out?
When you're watching TV.
I've got an oude.
Oh, so... And what do you wear?
Oude.
What do you wear?
Why is it called an oude?
That's just
the brand name. I'll bet you wear shorts, don't you?
No.
Because I've got one of those, but I don't call it an oude. I call it a snoodie. It's just like...
What's an...
I thought you were going to say I call it a hoodie.
Hang on.
Like, no, it's a different thing.
Rewind, what's a nude? I'm missing something.
Not a nude, an oude. What are you saying, Kirk? Oh, I watch telling me nude.
I mean, I do that.
What is it? A nude?
A
nude?
Oude. It's so, like a big, a massive, oversized fleece.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very large fleece.
Did you sleep in that?
No.
You sleep in it.
I don't sleep. I don't wear anything for bed.
No, I don't.
I sleep naked.
Yeah.
But I, if I'm watching TV, I'll normally put some sort of like bottoms on, and then a dressing gown, a t-shirt. What do you wear when you're watching TV? Just your hoodie. And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's what I would class as your pyjamas then.
Oh. But they're not pyjamas.
But they're
maybe not. But that's what you wear when you're relaxing.
Right. Yes.
What do you wear, Mark? Other Mark.
Me.
When?
I should listen, shouldn't I? Yeah, when you're watching TV at night.
Well, of late, I have been wearing my hoodie.
Right.
Have you got one as well?
It's a snoo. Well, I call it a snoodie. It's
this
like a snoozing.
This is getting confusing.
Yeah, but to be honest, I can pyjama bottoms and a t-shirt. So I've got some like lounge, they're like lounge trousers, aren't they?
Yeah,
lightweight thin cotton.
So what
trousers.
Do you wear then if you don't wear it?
Shirt and tie. I've told you. What's a shirt and tie?
Mark don't watch telly.
when I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
Just like some. What do you call them? Tracksuit bottoms and a t-shirt.
I could imagine Mark walking around his kitchen in chainmail saying, I'm relaxing. I am relaxing tonight. I am relaxing. Ching, ching, ching. I am relaxing. This is me relaxing.
I'm not a robot.
So anyway, Mark, it's 5:10 and Aina's stranded somewhere.
And I'm in my pyjamas. No. Yeah, so she's stranded, so she phones me. And I'm like, what's the matter with car? She's like, I went over something and my radiator's leaking. I'm like, what? How can you go over something and break your radiator? What are you going over? Well, I mean,
that's why I'd start to worry.
Is there a Facebook post that we need to find? Someone's took a picture and she's parked car in the corner of someone's house. Have you seen them? And they're on Facebook. Yeah, someone's like,
can't park there.
You can't park there, mate.
So I'm like, first of all, are you safe? Yeah, I'm safe. Right, okay. Are you parked? Okay. Yeah. So she dropped one of her friends off from work. It's on the way to.
What, I ran her over?
Well, must have. So I'm like, okay, so does the car start? No. Is it? And then she says to me the classic question of, will it be safe to drive home? Well, no, your radiator's leaking. It's not going to be safe to drive home in. But at least she asked me in case, because knowing Aina, sometimes she'd drive home and go, I've drove home, my radiator were leaking. Would that be right?
Cars on drive on fire.
No, but that's...
Yeah, flames coming from under the bonnet.
But she didn't do that. So she rang me. So I went, right, okay, well, where are you? So she told me. So I went, right, wait there, I'll come to you. So anyway, got there. She's obviously, I popped up on the street. Radiators, you know, all leaking and stuff and that. I'm like, what's going on there? She said, oh, I went over this rock or something in the middle of the road. I'm like, why would you do that?
A rock in middle of the road?
I know. Like, she went to...
She's been driving through Castleton.
Then she went to, then she went to show me where this rock went, but the rock had gone.
Oh, so of course. Just, yeah.
It's so, in a radiator.
Yeah. The rock had gone. It was in the middle of that field over there that she hadn't driven on.
So I'm like, right, okay, fine. What was I saying now about this? Oh, yeah. So she'd gone over this rock, but the rock weren't there. I went, well, how big is this rock? And she went, well, I said to her, why did you drive over it? Did you not see it?
Jimbo, with a clipboard. Yeah. I'm his with a clipboard, right. I've just got some questions for you. Yes. Right. Well, what speed were you doing? Why did you not see the rock?
Did you breathalyze her as well?
All I can imagine is Dwayne Johnson walking around the corner after going, oh, that rock.
So... she went, I said, why didn't you see? She went, well, I couldn't see over, because she's small, isn't she? She couldn't see over the bonnet, so she didn't see it.
Should she be driving?
Well, that's what, anyway. So anyway, she got over.
You can just imagine just a pair of hands steering a steering wheel on top of some glasses just peering over at dashboard.
So I went, right, okay. So she dropped her friend off. Her friend put some water out. I put some water in it. Although it took me about 10 minutes to find out where radiator, because old cars used to have the cap for the radiator. The radiator,
the radio, so
radio.
There used to be the radiator cap. Used to be on the radiator, didn't it?
Yeah.
Was that next to the crank handle that you?
Oh, come on! You're old enough to. Did he not? Oh, you're looking. I've got blank faces here.
I'm sure there was a cap for the radiator. Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is, back in the day, the cap for the radiator used to be on top of the radiator, didn't it? As in, literally.
I don't know.
It did.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Okay.
We're playing that, but yeah.
Are you just saying that?
I remember seeing my dad fill it up once.
Well, of course, caps aren't on radiators anymore. So anyway, I'm trying to find it.
My God, I don't have a radiator.
So anyway, I topped it with water. So I said, well, let's give it a go. Let's go and I'll drive it. She has to drive my car. So he sets off, but she's like, the drive home's like, it's either dual carriageways or country lanes. I know that's quite diverse. So dual carriageways, we can't stop on.
We live in a diverse country.
I know, but there's no like B roads where you can just pull up to the side of the road. So we set off. Obviously, it's busy because it's like, what, R5 at this time. Dual carriageway, busy, you can't stop. Country lanes, you can't stop. Anyway, I'm driving it. It conks out. Don't start. And I'm literally at this junction, like a nightmare junction. Like, this road's going like 100 miles an hour, and then these little tiny roads at side are going.
Are you in left-hand lane or right-hand lane?
Of
the junction. Is it a single junction?
It's a single junction.
Right.
Yeah. It's a single. We'd moved off the dual carriageway now, and I literally got to the junction at the front, and it's one of those junctions where you've got to stop at, and it's really fast. Yeah. And I couldn't get it to start. Anus pulled behind me. And there's like...
Was she beeping you? Come on, hurry up.
So I pull into the side the best I can. I ask Anus to pull into the side, but she can't really pull into the side. So she sort of pulls it where back end at car stuck out, so it makes it even worse. So I'm like pulling my hair out, thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? What are we doing here type thing? So
you did well to pull your hair out. I know. Gone to task on that, Mark.
So I'm like thinking, what can I do now? We can't drive it, you know. So I'm like, right, well... we'll have to get a recovery truck. So that's what I do. But I can't get any signal on my phone.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, okay, so, and then Aina's going, well, she's getting like a bit frustrated with me because I'm getting frustrated with her because, you know, as you do when you, man, you
Mark
know.
Still wants to know where this rock is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I phones this national breakdown thing. I phones them. So I ring this up. She's like, I think she's in India, this woman or something. She's no idea. I'm going, oh, it's at Eccleston. She's like, I have no idea what country you're in or whatever. She's talking to me like this. So I sort of give her the, you know, the what three words thing?
Yeah.
I give her that. So she's like, hey, okay. She's tapping on keyboard. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So obviously she knows my name. So she goes, oh, Mr. Lane, are you in a field? And I went, no, I'm on a road. She went, well, I've got you, these three words, I've got you in a field. Because obviously I ain't got much signal. So I'm struggling to get these last three words thing on this app. So I'm looking a bit more. Then it's, you know, when you're sort of zooming a map in and it all greys out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's doing all that.
You mean?
When it's not. And I'm like, oh my God, she's got me in a field and she's, you know, phoning this. And then she says, oh, it's going to be £200 to get this breakdown truck. I'm like, right, okay. Have you got your car details? I'm like, yeah, on my phone, when I just pressed my button on my iPhone twice and I scanned, she went, yeah, but I need your card number. I'm like, I ain't got my card with me. So I'm like thinking, you know when you're trying to think, going, hang on, how do I get my card number?
Out of your phone?
Yeah, do you know how to do it? I mean, yes. I know now.
Yeah.
I just use my bank app. So if I open my app, I can see my card details on my app.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you? Do you know?
My bank card details.
Yeah. I mean, as in the long card number and your expiry date and your last three digits on your back of your card. Mm. Would you know where to get them?
I don't think I would.
If you can just read them out now.
Yeah. I don't think I would, but I imagine I'd go to my wallet, the wallet on my iPhone.
Well, that's what I thought, but then rest of your numbers are sort of blurred out. They've got the asterisks on. And of course, I'm trying to think under stress because I'm still at this junction. Cars are beeping. You know,
you need to start wearing a body cam.
This is prime time.
And of course, I ain't got much signal, so I'm trying to go into my banking app to get my card details. But of course, I've not got much signal type of thing. So I'm going into that. This woman's trying to get this thing. So she sends me a link. This link's now expired because I'm trying to get into this app. She's still on the phone with me. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening here? Anyway, long story short, I get the payment done. She says, oh yeah, we'll probably get to you in about 2 hours. I'm like, huh? It's about 5:45, 6 o'clock now. He comes along quicker than I thought. Gets in, gets car on thing, gets us back home. So we're home at this stage. So that, but of course, I'm only home. I've still got a car that's still broken. Mm-hmm. So next day, I'm then phoning all garages near me. Do you want to know about this?
Go for it.
Carry on.
So I'm phoning garages near
it's
me.
It's exciting, this, Mark.
None of them do radiators. I'm like, why do they not do radiators? I phoned up my local garage. He said, try, what's that company called? Not QuickFit, the other one. Oh, what's it called? It's on tip.
Halfords.
Halfords, that's it. So he says, go to Halfords at Barnsley. Right, at Courton Wood. I find a number for the Barnsley. I ring them. I says, oh, right, yeah, can I bring my car? Yeah, yeah. Do you do radiators? We don't fit radiators here. So this guy that's where I live tell me to phone Barnsley, but they don't do this. So I'm like, well, what's...
That's a complaint going in.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So then I'm going to take it to Parkgate. So anyway, I take it to... So I'm like, okay, fine, no problem. Speak to this guy. I says, right, if I bring it in, will you be able to look at it? Will you be able to get up on the lamp and have a look at it? Yeah, yeah, bring it in.
Don't stand under the radiator because you'll get wet.
So I'm like, okay, how do I take it in? So I thought, well, I'll put loads of water in it. I'll drive. I take it steady. Anyway, long story short, it took me about 2 hours to drive it in because I was driving really slowly and I kept stopping to put water in. Then I had to let it cool down.
Yeah.
Finally got it in there. I went, hi, mate, I spoke to you this morning about getting your pump round. Yeah, we're busy today, mate. No, it's not going to happen. Oh, no. I'm like, really? He says, can you pop back tomorrow? I went, hang on a minute. Let me tell you. It's taken me two hours. Were you that I spoke to on phone? He went, I don't think it was me. I said, were you? Your accent's exactly the same. Because we were a foreign guy. I think we were French bloke or something. I said, it were you? He says, I don't think we're going to be able to get this on today. I said, well, what am I going to do? He said, bring me. So he's like, bring it back to mom. I went.
Have you got some water, please? I
was prepared. I got 4 litres in car.
I can imagine.
Tap water.
You're not going to waste it, are you?
No, it was tap water. Not. It weren't water.
Weren't Volvic.
I'm not paying water to put in the rain. No, that's, so anyway, so they eventually put it on the ramp and they had a look at it and he went, it's your radiator. I know that. So anyway, he says, yeah, you'll have to, we'll get ordered part and we'll fit it and it'll be tomorrow. Well, okay, fine, no problem. So off I go. Now, I've not been without a car, like stranded somewhere. So I'm like, okay, you've got to get on a bus here or something. So
bus, remember them?
I know. So I'm like stood at this bus stop. There's all these bus numbers. I mean, you know, 221, 275. I'm like, what's happening? I'm trying to
how
read
many
this
more numbers are there?
Loads of numbers. There were buses going everywhere. I'm looking at timetable. It gave me a time like at something like 7:30, and then next one said something like 7:55, and then it were dash 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 dash. And I'm like, what does that mean? There's no buses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they only like do two morning buses, and
I don't think buses run like they used to when people used to catch them. There's only people like you catching buses when you smashed your radiator.
I've
the
not
rock
been on a bus
exist.
For years. But the bus number I wanted, you know that they have it's paper one, and they put them in these like plastic things in thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, it was all screwed up.
Oh no. And that's another complaint going in.
And condensation had got behind this plastic screen, so I couldn't see. So like, well. So that didn't help me. So I'm like, fine. Anyway, bus turns up. He pulls up. I says, do you go to Mexico? He says, yeah, I go to Mexico. Great. Yeah, gets on. Right. £2. I thought that was quite cheap, that. £2.
Last time I got on a bus, it was 33 pence, I think.
Yeah. Well, they actually did a maximum cap, didn't they, on a bus journey?
Oh, well, I didn't know this. Yeah. I only knew
I only know this because it was on news recently.
Budget.
And there's like a limit on how much you can charge for a bus journey, and it's £2. Well, it's about 75 now.
Well, I'm expecting it to be like, you know, £4.50 or so. I thought, fine. Anyway, we set off. I'm like, okay, this is great. So anyway, pulls up at this junction. I'm like, he's not moving. What's going off here? There's a beep going off. Bus has broke down. I'm like, what?
He's hit a rocket Midland Road.
I'm like, what's happening here? I'm on a bus.
Get back down to the bus and Ian is driving it.
I'm like, is it his radiator? What's going off? So there's obviously a buzzing sound on this. Beep, beep, beep. He's not reversing, by the way. He's at a juncture.
These buzzers have changed noises, haven't they, over years? What did it do?
Beep, 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 beep.
A beep?
It weren't beeping.
A buzzer were beeping.
Yeah, a buzzer were beeping. And I'm like, it's broke down. I'm like, what's going on in here? So the guy gets out, like, you know, bus driver. He gets down, walks down bus. Emergency door, it's loose. I'm like, fine. It's not swinging in wind. It's just a bit loose. So he said to this passenger, because this old bloke said, what's the matter? He says, and this guy said to him, well, it's fine, just carry on. He went, I can't carry on because it won't drive, because while this buzzer's going, I can't set off.
Beep, beep, beep.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm like, great. So he's banging this door about, and I'm sat on bus going, great. You know, I mean, what's happening here? I've not been on a bus for years. Your bus has broke down, sat at this junction. You know, there's cars behind me. I'm like deja vu from day before. It's a junction with cars behind. Anyway, about 10 minutes of opening door, getting out, walking around, messing around with door. He finds he closes it. I mean, this bus driver's not got a care in the world. He's moving about 2 miles an hour. You know, as in, it's just, you know, he's ready to finish his shift. This
You're
guy.
Almost ready to ask him to drop me off back at Alfred's.
Alfred's, yeah. Absolutely. So anyway, he gets him. I finally get home. And I'm home, and then next day, radiator, it's done. It's done, mate. So I pick it up, come home, no problems. I said to Aina, car's done. Next morning, she goes to work, like, it's silly o'clock, whatever, you know, or 6 o'clock in the morning, she goes to work. I'm fast asleep. She wakes me up. Radiator's leaking.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, no. I'm not making this up. I'm like, what? So anyway, I goes down, it's leaking. I'm like, okay, you take my car. So she takes my car. And I'm stuck with car again. I'm like, right. So it's another 2 hour journey back to Alfords, isn't it? Because I'm having to stop again.
Right.
Takes it back. I says, hey mate, I put radiator next to her. I brought this in. Blah blah blah. He says, oh yeah, we'll get it up on ramp. I says, what today? Was it tomorrow? When's it gonna be? Oh no, it'll be today. Anyway, he puts it up on ramp. He puts some store dust on floor. And anyway, checks in. He goes, oh, it's just this little screw thing there that's loose. Looks at me as if to say, you should have checked that. I'm like, what are you looking at? I'm not, what? It's not, A, it's not even my car. B, you yeah, fixed
Anna,
it.
You should have checked it.
Yeah, B, you should have fixed it. They looked at this yesterday. I mean, it were all right, this guy, but I'm like, what are you asking me? I don't know about this little pipe screw thing. It's, oh yeah, if it ever happens again, just tighten that up. I'm like, what do we mean if it happens? What is it going to happen again? Is it a regular thing?
Sounds like a Jubilee clip to me.
No, it wasn't a Jubilee clip.
Oh, is it now?
No.
Oh, that's put me back in my box, hasn't it?
No. Yeah, a metal thing. No, it weren't. It was like a plastic screw thing on a plastic pipe, which were part. You could say it were, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
Some people might call it a Jubilee clip, but it wasn't. Yeah.
it looked exactly like a Jubilee clip, but it wasn't.
No, it didn't. It were black for a start. And Jubilee clicks are usually silver.
Yeah.
So that's first point.
So then what happened?
So it tightened up and it stopped leaking.
And that's how it done?
I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. That's what I said to him when I left. off I went, got it home, checked it all, no leaks. And then since that day, we've had no problems.
Brilliant.
Wow.
So that's where we are.
Is it time for Wheel of Features?
That were a good episode. Yeah.
See you next week.
I thought Sally were going to ring time.
I know.
So that's my week.
As long as car's all right, mate. It's
all sorted. Yes, for now.
Well done.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
You definitely need to start wearing a body cam.
You should, shouldn't
you? Yeah. There's a channel in the waiting. Just Mark's trivial trials and tribulations. Yes.
I notice you're not wearing your sling.
No. I took it off on last Friday, and I'm just
Is that a scar on your arm?
Yeah. So obviously I tore my bicep tendon, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I opted for surgery, which were quite scary because it's done a general anaesthetic, and I've been in a general anaesthetic before, but we're talking 30 odd years ago when I had me.
Is that where they put you to sleep? General one.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've never had it.
Have you not?
No, it's great.
Because Daisy's had it, and she said it's like really strange.
Well, I must admit, when I came round this time, I was like, it was really strange because I was bricking it before. Right? Well, I'll tell you a bit about the day, and then I got the phone call saying, right, we've had a cancellation tomorrow. No, it wasn't for tomorrow. It was for the day after tomorrow, so Monday or whatever it was. We need you here for 7:15 in the morning. Nil by mouth from 2:00 in the morning or whatever, and you can only drink water if you do have anything, you know, so fair enough. So, I had a late tea the night before, and then Ellen dropped me off at the hospital. I got there for about 7:15, a bit earlier, and I got there and there were loads of people stood waiting. I was like, wow, this is busy. And so I'm trying to, you know, being quite jovial, I said, guys, like Butlins this, isn't it, for the ill? So we sat there, and then, I don't know, watching, they got a telly on in this waiting room. There were me and 3 or 4 other blokes, and because they were like a men's waiting bit and a woman's waiting bit, so they were all segregated. You have to put these like gowns on and whatever, which I'll come to anyway. So Saturday, watch it telly, and everyone's just messing around with the phones as you do because you're sat and just, you know, just waiting for whenever really, because there were no time to say when you were going to go in. Next thing, this alarm went off. I like jumped out of my skin and I was like, what was that? They're testing fire alarm. So I'm like, oh, fair enough. Why wouldn't you tell people?
Yeah. Is there not a little sign on wall saying Monday's 10 a.m?
No, but certainly, why would you be testing that when there's a surgeon who's potentially going to be cutting people open, and that goes off? You're gonna, do you know what I mean? And he's sorry, wrong arm. Anyway, so we sat there, and this alarm went off about 2 or 3 times as they were checking it.
Can I just interrupt? What happens if a fire alarm goes off if you're having surgery and it's a genuine fire? That's a question for another time.
That's a question. That's a question for a surgeon.
that is a good question, though, isn't it?
It is a very good question.
Because like, you can't just leave that person because they're going to die. But then, if you do, you're going to burn in a fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on, Mark.
So I'm sat there and we're, you know, watching this TV and chatting to a few different blokes and what are you in for? What are you in for? Oh, where are you from? And there was this old guy there, and really nice fella. And he looked at me and said, I know you from somewhere. And I was like, I don't really recognise you. I said, but I do get told quite a lot that people say they know my face. It's one of those faces you want to slap. And it's quite familiar. I said, so it could be that. Anyway, but we got talking. And bless him. He was just recovering from cancer. And we were talking, and he has to have, when he goes in for surgery, because of his age, he goes in under an epidural.
All right.
And they're operating in his, his bowel or his bladder. But he requested, and they allow him to, obviously. He can watch him doing the surgery on the screen.
Wow.
Because of his age. And he was saying, yeah, he said, and I was like, because you're, he said, yeah, he said, my son's coming later on to pick me up. He's 70. And I was like, what? I didn't ask him. His son was 70. So I didn't ask the guy because I didn't want to be rude. So this guy must have been 90.
I'm going to say
he sat there. He's beat cancer. He's going in for surgery again. And he's like, they're cleaning and, you know, getting rid of whatever cells were left from whatever treatment he's had. And I was just like, anyway, it turned out that he did used to live near me. I didn't know him directly because he'd moved before I moved here.
But he remembered you.
He used to live up here 40 odd years ago, and he was talking about the pubs and, you know, whatever. But yeah, really, really nice fella. But anyway, so we sat there and we're obviously all talking, and then you get shouted through and you go, and you think, oh, this is it. I'm going in for my operation. You go in and then you get weighed and you go through these things. Right, we need to change into this gown. So they give you this gown and, you know, cloth off.
Paper pants.
Oh, well, you get to wear your normal pants, actually.
Oh, yeah. I've been run out of paper pants.
So we sat there and we're talking, and she went, right, we need to get you some stockings to put on. These, like, they like go up to your knee. These,
I like stockings.
They're like deep, like for DVT or something, I think.
Yeah,
We just need to measure your ankles. Anyway, so...
What?
Whoa. I'm fire.
I know.
Measure your ankles? Is that a thing? Well, why?
So, for comfort, because obviously I can only use one arm, I'm wearing my Crocs, right? I thought, I'm going to think smart. I'm going to wear stuff that I can take off quite easily on my own, because Ellen's helping me to get dressed at this stage, because obviously I've only got one functional arm. I certainly will do once the operation's done. So I thought, I'll wear the Crocs, I can kick them off. And they're not like normal Crocs that you see quite often. They're quite... they're a different style. I'll show you them. Anyway.
Can't wait.
So, I digress. So she says, right, I just need to measure your ankles. Anyway, she looks down and she went, oh, God, they're chunky. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, charming!
Chunky?
I'm like, what are you saying? I've got cankles. Anyway, she bursts out laughing. She's, oh, we've got a standing joke here, because we sometimes go on a night out and there's one at girls who talks about cankles. And she went, no, I'm on about your Crocs, because they are quite chunky. And I went, oh, right, great. Anyway, so she went, and so she measured me and I put these stocking things. I said, right, you just need to get weird. So I jumped on these scales, and I went, oh, what's that in stones, because it went kilos? And she went, oh, it's a lot. And I went, oh, it is. Yeah. I said, I know it's a lot, but So it were...
Feeling great at this point.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm thinking, right, this is it. I'm getting ready to go. She went, right, if you want to go and take a seat now, and then we'll get you... we'll let you know when you're going in. So she'll be looking mid to late morning. So I thought, oh, that's good. Not too long. And then she looked at me and she went, ah, we need to get that wedding ring off, because your fingers will swell up during surgery, or there's a really good chance that they will, and we don't want to cause any problems. So we're like, good luck getting that off, because it's not been off since I got married. Anyway, so she went, well, go to the toilet, use some hand gel, and just keep re-lubricating and trying. Anyway, so I went to...
You're so immature, Mark. You're so immature.
Why are you giggling at?
I'm not looking at
me.
You're being rude. I'm looking at me.
All I heard with this little giggle in me.
What?
You know, carry on.
Wait, Rob looking at me.
Carry on,
winking.
So she said, oh, in fact.
So you're in toilet lubricating.
Yeah, and anyway, it's not working. So. it won't come off. I couldn't get my ring off. So she said, right, I've got an idea. Go in and run it under the cold water tap and keep it under there for a couple of minutes until your finger goes numb, and then obviously the blood flow will reduce and then you've a good chance of getting it off. So I go to the toilet.
And you try putting Bornob on, Rob.
Rob.
Sorry, well,
carry on. You can't resist, can you? There's only one level where you land, it's in the gutter. So anyway, I go to the toilet. There's no cold water. It's literally the tap goes one way.
I've got
and it's
loads
hot.
Of Nana's car. Loads of water. Loads
it's
of water.
Hot. So I goes out, and there's not a lot of staff knocking around. There's a couple of receptionists, and there's what do you call them? A domestic, I think. They're just like a bit of cleaning and assisting or whatever. And she goes, you okay? And I goes, I need to use cold water on my finger. She went, what? There's some in the toilet. I went, don't do cold. She went, it does, doesn't it? I went, well, no, I won't be asking you if it did. I go, he just goes, what? She went, what? Anyway, so she walked in because she didn't believe me to the toilet. She went, oh, it doesn't, does it? No, it doesn't, because I've just been in and I've just told you that it... Anyway, so that didn't work. So I went to this other toilet, tried cold water, didn't work. So the nurse came out, she went, right, I've got a trick. Go and take a seat and I'll be over with you in about 10 minutes. And I've seen this on Facebook where they use the string.
Oh,
have you seen the cotton?
Yeah.
So I'm like, fair enough, I've seen it on Facebook. And anyway, she came over with a cotton and she did the thing, she wrapped it round and...
And it didn't work.
About 5 minutes. No, it worked. It got the ring off. So she went, right, that way. She disappeared. And I thought, right, this is it. It'll not be long now until I'm in. About another hour or two passed. And I was like, getting a bit late now, this. And it got to early afternoon.
Weren't you hungry, by the way, at this stage?
I was starving. Mm-hmm. I was starving. So I went to the reception. I said, excuse me. I says, I don't suppose you know what time I'm looking to go in. She went, oh, you're not the next one. You're the one after. Which made me something like 3:30 or something like that. And I went, right, okay. So I'd gone from being quite nervous initially, and then I'd settled down because I knew I was going to be,
Because you were bored.
And then they said, all right, you're going to be your next one in. Right. Then nerves started to kick in again. Yeah. So I'm like, God. Right. And then this guy comes through, Mark Hill. Oh, right. That bit, then my heart started pounding. Come through, and I'm walking down the corridor, and he's talking to me, being quite jovial. What's your having done? And the surgeon had drawn on my arm that morning because I'd been to see him first thing, and he'd drawn on to show which arm it was, so that they got the right one. And computer won't work. You were trying to log on to the computer because every time I went to see somebody, they were confirming who I was, and I had to confirm my date of birth and everything else. Got this wristband on so that, you know, they made sure they were operating on the right person, the right arm, the right thing. And then he said, right, we're going to take you through now to see the anaesthetist. That right then really started getting nervous. Yeah. So I'm sort of making jokes with this guy and I'm trying to be quite jovial.
Were you laughing quite a bit when you, like a nervous like laugh?
Yeah, nervous laugh, yeah.
And I will like, apologise, I'm really sorry, it's because I'm nervous and I'm trying to make, and then the one at nurse were going, are you still here? Yeah, I'm still here. You know, as they do, because they're quite hardy, aren't they, nurses? Yeah, I think they have to deal with quite a lot. And so went through and he said, right, lay on this bed. And he said, right, are you allergic to anything? No. Confirm your details. And I'm going to tell you really any details off. And then he said, right, you're just going to feel a slight prick in the back of your hand. You're going to laugh, aren't you, again?
No, I'm expecting
quite immature again. And anyway, and then he's talking to me, and I said, do us a favour. I said, I've got a couple of tattoos that I regret. Can you cover them up while I'm under? You know, and I'm like trying to be quite funny. I said, I'm apologising to him. I'm saying, look, I'm really sorry. I'm just a bit nervous. And he went, it's no problem. He said, we're going to start introducing some anaesthesia at anaesthetic at some point. He said, so just relax. So I'm going to put this mask on to introduce some oxygen. And as I'm talking to him, and I got this like really funny feeling in the back of my throat, and I was like, it was almost like I'd gone to swallow and almost half choked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And I was like, and he went, you're right. And I went, yeah, I just feel a little bit. That were it. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Literally, that's the last thing I can remember. And yeah, and then obviously came round really sort of, wow, like I'd had the best sleep I've ever had.
Really?
And I'd only been under for, I think, 2.5 hours, I think it was, from being laid on that bed. Or the last thing I can remember was, I think it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and it was about 6:30 is the first time I can remember consciousness.
I remember last time I were anaesthetised, and I remember them say, we were talking about whatever it is. I remember talking about whiskey with the anaesthetist, whatever it is. And I remember him saying, well, I'll tell you what, do me a favour. He said, imagine drinking a whiskey, but count how many whiskies you've had in the last 8 months. And I remember going, well, one whiskey, two whiskey, three, gone.
Yeah. It's really weird,
it's
isn't
weird,
it?
It's weird, yeah.
I remember when I come around, I went, do you know when I said, first thing I said, do you know when I came around, I said, have I come around naturally? Or have you like, do you have to introduce something? She said, oh no, there's like, yeah, it's like an antidote. They do something to reverse the effects of it. Yeah. Really clever, isn't it?
It's strange, isn't it?
How crazy is it that, like, with, I always find this weird, the general anaesthetic, that you put under, you know, it's literally, it's just knocking you out, innit, fundamentally. Yeah. But then you're that far out, what, you know, your brain shuts down as much as, you know, as much as it does, that literally you can be cut open, sliced open, sawn in, you know, sawn apart, and you feel nothing. It's like nothing.
Yeah. It's bonkers.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But so I came round, obviously, and I was, again, being quite drunk. You're almost half drunk, aren't you, when you're coming round, and you're like, a bit woozy, and
did they ask if you ordered a sandwich?
Do you want to? Yeah, I'll have a sandwich and some. And I can't remember what I said. I'm making some jokes, and then one of them mentioned something, and I can't remember what it were. And we got talking about nightclubbing back in 90s and early noughties, and they were, oh yeah, we used to get on that free bus to Club Wow, and you know, we're talking about days gone by when we used to go out to, you go downtown, and then bus used to pull up, didn't it, behind Elliot's, and we get onto Sheffield and get on free bus and. And they used to go to Brannigan's and Poulsen Vogue and all those sorts of places. But there was such a friendly bunch of people. They made, you know, when I were nervous, they were making fun at times, but in a light-hearted way. But really reassuring. Mm. And certainly when you were coming around at the end and, you know, asking if you were okay and just chatting generally. And I said to him, I said, I'm going to, We have a podcast, and I'm going to give them a shout out because they were that good. So I thought, you know, I said, I'm going to give. I actually said to him, I'm going to put you a good review on TripAdvisor. this as promised. So to Gemma Robinson, who's the staff nurse, Paul Levine, who's a sister, not Gemma's sister. No, she's is it a nurse sister or is it? It's like a title into they are a sister. Julie Cunliffe, who's staff nurse. Mario Shaker, he was the anaesthetist. He was quite funny. And he got a couple of guys working with me. I didn't quite get their names, but they were okay. Anyway, great group of people. I'd recommend them to anybody. The surgeon, which I'll come back to actually, because I've got a question about this. there was a healthcare, Davina Enemy, and another healthcare, Louise Somerset. But they were just a lovely bunch of people. They really took good care of me. But the surgeon, right, so he's called Richard Bryan, the surgeon. But you know the consultants, they're called Mr. They're not doctors anymore.
Oh,
which okay. Which got me thinking, so like, when you start off in like in life, you know, as a kid, what's your name, when your title as a child?
Master. Child.
Master.
Yeah, master.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as you become an adult, you become Mr. And then you get qualified in something and you study, you do a PhD, then you get a doctorate, then you become a doctor, don't you? Mm-hmm. And then you get more qualified and then you end up back at square one and become a Mr.
Yeah. But why, when you're a kid, do you start as a master?
That's what it is. That's your title.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but it's strange, isn't it? Yeah, you aim in life to
you're like the master.
To be the master of the master. You start as a master.
Master should be the top. Yeah, you start off. Yeah,
Mister should be the first
like
one.
Junior, or something like that, and then I go through ranks.
Well, I'm really glad they looked after you, mate.
Yeah,
they were fantastic.
And which hospital were this?
This was Rotherham Hospital.
Rotherham Hospital.
Yeah,
yeah. My mum, not so long ago, same kind of thing. Day surgery, do they call it? Day surgery, I think.
Yeah, it is day surgery. Yeah.
And she said she had to go in for something, and she said, when I went and picked her up and everything, and the first thing she said to me, she's like, do you know what? They are so lovely in there.
Yeah, they are.
You know, with how overworked they are and how, you know, how what they've got to put up with on a day-to-day basis and stuff. But she said how lovely they were. And then, obviously, when I spoke to Mark after you'd had it done, you were saying that one of the first things, again, what you said was that just they were so pleasant and so nice.
I remember when I had my penis shortened, they were really nice to me then.
Only one level. I tell you what, were weird though. Obviously, because they put something in. This was really bizarre. They put something in called a block.
Yeah.
Where they like put something in, it blocks the nerve, and so I couldn't feel anything at all down my left arm for about two days. My fingers. So I remember, like, I was laid there, and then I sort of touched my hand with my other hand. And it was like I'd grabbed hold of somebody else's hand because I didn't feel that I'd grabbed hold of it other than with the hand that would... Do you know what I mean?
I know where Rob's going. I know where Rob's going.
And there are a couple of times... I'm going to try and bring it back to some sort of centre ground here, Rob.
Rob normally has to lay on his hand first.
Yeah. I'm booking myself in it, Dave.
Blocker or something you can do, is that... Can you sort of do it like, you know, for a couple of years?
Can I just finish what I'm saying? Right? You're being too mucky-minded. And there were a couple of times when I woke up at middle at night and I'd like reach over and I'd touch me. And I'd touch my hand with my other hand and I'd be like, oh, whose hand's that? And it were mine because I couldn't feel it other than my hand that I were touching it with. It were right weird. And actually, it felt quite old.
What, your hand?
My hand felt like an old person's. Yeah,
really?
You know, like when you were a kid and you hold your dad's hand?
Yeah.
It felt like that. Because it was like.
You realised how old you were.
Yeah. You realised how old my hand were when it were numb.
Well, it's funny because I've got a bit of a story about an epidural. So, Kylie, when she was. When she went into labour with Scarlett, our firstborn, and we went in and obviously, first time, first child and stuff. And this said about an epidural because she suffers really bad with arthritis in her hips and stuff, and she was always toying whether to do it or not, and she didn't, you know. But the doctors and everything there was like, look, you really should, because your hips and stuff like that, the problems you've got, you really should. So fine. So this anaesthetist walked in, and I swear to God, he was drop dead gorgeous. He just were. Do you know, like when someone what? When someone walks in...
You thought this.
He just was. It doesn't matter whether I thought or not. He just was.
Yeah.
You know, when someone walks into a room and, like, everybody stops. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And Kylie instantly flushed. Instantly flushed. Because she's there in just, like, a robe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This guy walks in that's, like, some sort of Adonis. Do you know what I mean? Starts talking to her and stuff. And then she says... She says, right, we're going to do the epidural and explain the process, which, by the way, if you've never seen it happen before, an epidural, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. They literally just start, like, threading pipework down your spine.
From where?
So it's like they inject it like with a needle, so it's really, really thin.
Yeah.
And then once it's in your skin, and they almost like keep attaching little bits to it and keep like feeding it down your spine.
Wow.
And then obviously they attach the needle at the other end and then administer the epidural.
Yeah.
And then it's saying, oh, you'll feel it really cold down your spine and stuff like that. This guy's stood in front of her, administered the epidural, and then he stood in front of her, and he says, right, he says, any tingling in your fingers? And she's like, no. Any tingling in your toes? No. She says, any tingling in your lips? She looked at him, she went, which ones? She wasn't meaning to be rude or anything like that. She just genuinely, because obviously she's pretty much naked apart from her gown. We're there obviously for a pregnancy sort of thing. So it was almost like a genuine question.
And did she say it very seriously?
Oh, she just like literally, it was like, looked at him. She, any tingling in your fingers? No. Any tingling in your toes? No. Any tingling in your lips? Which ones? It was literally like that.
What was his reaction?
He burst out laughing. We all burst out laughing in the room. There was already this little bit of tension in the room anyway because of just how drop dead gorgeous he were. And he just looked at her. He was just like the ones on your face. She's like, oh, no, I'm all right.
So had you been away as well, Rob, last week?
As well as who?
I only went to Rotherham Hospital. Well, I didn't actually. I've been away as well, but my Rob's been away as well.
I've been away at garage. He's been away at hospital. You've been away, haven't you?
I have. I've actually been away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to Malta, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
So, and it were brilliant.
Is that where Maltesers come from?
Do you know what? I don't know. I don't think it is, mate.
Oh, before you start talking about Malta, though. You went. You weren't your award thing before you went to.
You went to Birmingham.
Correct. Yes.
How did you get on?
I won.
Woohoo!
All right. Anyway, tell us about Malta. Then.
clever you! Yeah, I won. I won the award.
Well done.
So yes, well done. John Wickersham Award. I've got it here to show you. Oh, yeah.
Have you brought it?
Have you? Oh yeah. Yeah. That's great. Tell us about
Malta again. You said it really fast then.
John Wickersham Award.
John Wickersham.
For video journalism.
Brilliant.
They need to change the title because it's a bit of a mouthful.
It's glass. You're better off not passing it to me because it'll end up in two pieces.
Oh, that's brilliant, that, mate. Well done.
Yeah,
joking aside and taking
the really well
done.
It was really good. So we went to the Caravan and Motorhome show during the day in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Spent the whole day there. And then the award ceremony for the Caravan Writers Guild was at, I think it's a golf club or something like that, just round the corner from the Birmingham NEC. Lovely evening, plenty of people there from the Caravan Writers Guild.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is your name on this?
No.
So it's just a generic award for anyone?
It's not a generic
award. If anyone ever needs a leveler,
I know, right?
Come on, for the benefit of the tape, this is quite heavy.
Let's make Rob really sweat. Yes. Pass it to me.
Yeah, it's got to read what it says on it, Mark.
The John Wickersham Award for Video Journalism 2024 runner-up. Winner, Howden CWG Journalism Media. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
that,
well
Rob.
Done, Rob.
Nice,
well
isn't
done.
It?
Yeah.
And that what I didn't realise was that I also won £1,000. But I say cash, but yeah, £1,000 as well.
Well done.
Tax free. Is it taxable?
I don't.
Have you
it's winnings. It's winnings. It's tax free.
Is it? I don't really know, but I wasn't paying tax on it anyway. So.
I won't bother either.
Drinks on you. Drinks on you. £1,000. Drinks on you then.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So the whole thing was really good, and they played a couple of the video clips from the people that were in it, and yeah, my name came up on the screen, and I was like, oh wow. The evening was amazing. And then literally from there, that probably went on till much later, but we had to leave because we were getting a flight to Malta the following morning at 6 a.m.
How the other half living.
I know. Yeah. So we had to...
Jet-setting.
Dash home. I'd literally an hour and a half, 2 hours sleep. I wasn't going to go to bed, but you know, you think 2 hours is still 2 hours sleep.
You were giddy, weren't you? That's why.
Drove to Manchester and then flew to Malta. And that was really nice. I've been to Malta before. Once, I think 1993 was the first time I ever went. And then I went once on the cruise ship. Don't really remember much about it. But yeah, what a lovely place Malta is. You feel really safe. Or I felt really safe there's so much history as well, British history as well in Malta. Mm. Yeah, and I'd forgotten so much about it, but we went and obviously we went to watch Take That. That was the main reason why we were there. Saw some great acts. Sam Ryder was amazing. Sugar Babes were very good. Daniel Bedingfield, well...
When you say Sugar Babes, what were the lineup? Because it changes all the time.
Yeah, it does, doesn't
it? It was the original lineup.
Oh,
the original Sugar Babes. Yeah.
Oh, is that with Diana Ross?
Yeah. That must be a shot of...
Yeah, the very original ones. I think they're about to go on tour. Daniel Bedingfield, who we used to really like, didn't we?
He sung Happy Birthday to me.
Yes, he did.
On stage.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
When, hang on, on stage. So you were doing a concert, yeah, and you went, yeah, Daniel, it's my birthday, and you went, oh, okay, yeah, Kurt, happy birthday. So, is this how he went?
So a friend of mine at the time booked...
Andrew, was it?
Yeah, booked some tickets to go and see Daniel Bedingfield for my birthday. It was my 21st. And there was me...
years ago, then.
Me, Andrew...
Daniel Bedingfield was 7.
Yeah. It was me, Andrew and Rob.
Yeah.
And we went there, and he was actually running a bit late, Daniel Bedingfield, because he'd been at some awards ceremony.
Yeah.
The John Wickersham Awards. Yeah. Is that where he'd been?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And he came running on stage late, and he literally said, evening, Nottingham, I think we were at.
Yeah, Nottingham.
Evening, Nottingham. Everyone's like, hey. And then he's like, I'm excited tonight. Are you all excited? And everyone's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm excited because it's Kirk Stevenson's 21st birthday. Where are you?
What?
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I stood up. He got me to stand up. And then he, like, off beatboxed and sang Happy Birthday to me on stage. Yeah. And basically, Andrew, when he'd booked the tickets, he'd wrote to the manager, and told him it was my birthday and stuff like that. And he sang Happy Birthday on stage. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's great, isn't it? That is.
So he came out for this, but he didn't go down that great, to be fair. It is not one for... Different to what we saw when he was younger. He didn't really engage with the audience that much and started with new songs. And no one's heard them.
It's not a festival thing to do, is it?
No, no one has heard them. No. So he must have sang three back to back.
He should have sang Happy Birthday to someone. That would have been great.
Absolutely. We're all a bit like, don't know what these are. He was dressed... he's got his own clothing brand now. And he was dressed in that. It's very like anime. Is it anime. It's that sort of designs, and he looked almost like a 17-year-old dressing, or an adult dressing as a 17-year-old.
I'm going to say, did he look any different?
He's put a lot of weight on.
I'll tell you what he looks like. What's his face from Hangover? The comedy one, the funny one with the beard.
Yeah, the bigger guy.
Yeah, that's who he looked like.
I don't know how he sleeps at night.
Who?
Daniel.
Why?
He's got his bed in a field.
Oh,
they get worse, don't they?
That is very
bad. Oh, goodness me.
So anyway,
was his voice still good though?
Because I know he
took a step back from the limelight. He's been doing a lot of writing. He writes a lot of songs for a lot of people.
He's got a new album coming out. Still sounded great. So yeah, so the acts were great. Take That were obviously brilliant and really good. But a funny thing, because we were there, Gemma is obsessed with Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, all that. Yeah. And they filmed the most recent Dominion in Malta.
They did, because when I was there a couple of years ago, they'd got a plaque up. Sorry, my voice is going. They got a plaque up where they said they'd filmed some of the scenes.
You were there first time round with T-Rex, weren't you?
Yeah, well, that would be.
So when we were in Valletta, which is where they filmed it, Gemma wanted to find some of the places where they'd shot. So we spent ages looking, because she wanted to know where Chris Pratt had been and some of the other actors in it. Anyway, after searching for ages, we eventually found some locations which looked nothing like they did on the film. and only then did I research and do a bit more investigating, and found that none of the actors of the film were actually there. Stunt doubles, and they CGI'd the faces of all of them on.
Really?
None of them were ever in Malta. And if you watch the film, there's so much of their faces on all those scenes, and they were never there. And you just think, wow.
That seems a bit...
Wow.
So that were a complete waste of time. Have you told
Gemma that?
No.
Well, she'll know now, won't she?
She'll know now. But, you know, Malta in general was brilliant. Yeah, I had a great time. So all good.
Fab.
What's anyone else been up to?
Well, while you were in Malta.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Of course, yes. The podcast awards.
Yeah.
How was it?
We were in London.
Great.
Yeah, we're great. Yeah, really, really good night. Really good night.
Start from the beginning. Like, you went down on the train.
Well, I got up and brushed my teeth. Well, and I was,
you what?
You said start from the beginning. So I got up, brushed my teeth.
I was going to go further back. I was going to say, well, last year we decided to do a podcast.
Yeah.
So you went down on the train, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
Eventually.
Yeah.
The first train were cancelled.
It's a long thing. Oh, really? Got wheels.
Your train cut.
Yeah, we ended up getting an Uber at the train station. Yeah. Because the first train to the train station was cancelled. Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare.
We had to get a train to the train station. Yeah, that's how.
Did you end up having any beers on the train?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Of course. Yeah. Literally, as soon as the door shut, Mark looked to me.
Not me. Not me.
How'd you order this thing on this app with these beers?
Yeah.
But yeah, straight down, got there in good time, had a wander around, got a McDonald's, and then went to the event. It was in like an event centre, weren't it?
Yeah. Sort of
different.
Yeah.
And got there, down some escalators, great people.
Welcome drinks.
Was there a red carpet?
No, so you were.
Blue, I think, wasn't it? No, it was tiled, actually. The main entrance was tiled.
Slightly underwhelming.
Yeah, the escalator were metal, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, people walk around, free drinks, wine, Prosecco.
Dangerous.
Bottles of beer.
Bottles
of beer. Yeah. So obviously, that were Mark's set. He were happy as Larry. Kept trying to, oh, I'll have another one, you know, trying to see how many he could fit in his hands. Yes. But no, we were. I don't think we expected that, did we? I don't think we expected that.
No, not at all.
Not that level of welcome and so much going off.
Obviously, had his photos, took, and then went and just networked, really, just talking to other people about some podcasts. Met some guys that did a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
Was called A Village in Crisis.
Yeah. All right.
So I've added that to my podcast.
That was quite an interesting podcast. Like, what they do is they'll pick up, they don't tell you the name of the village because it's actually their local village and the local Facebook group. You know, like everyone's got like something going off on their Facebook group, whether it be dog poo or somebody's acting suspicious and everyone's out. And so what they do is they take a scenario and they talk about it and they. In the podcast, right, and make fun of it, so it sounds really good.
And then we got called into the like a theatre sort of thing on the stage, and then they just literally went through the awards. I mean, it was quite funny that literally as soon as we sat down, they were just about to start. Well, they did start. Had a host there that was a comedian.
Yeah, she was stand-up comic.
An Iranian comedian, I think she was.
And literally, we just started, and Mark was sat next to me and looked at me and went, I really need a wee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not me.
I'm like, no, other Mark. He's like, I really need a wee. And I'm like, well, I don't know where, because you don't know where your category is. No. Like, you don't know at what point. And there's no way that you would have had time to get up, go to the toilet and back in between a category.
Yeah.
And literally, he's like, look, after 2 minutes, he's like looking at her going, but I really... really need a wee, and I'm like, I don't know what we're gonna do. Anyway, they started going through the categories. It got to our category. We didn't win. Oh no, I know.
Oh well.
But you know what? It was great to be nominated. It was great to be a finalist. A lot of people.
And I had a really good wee.
You know, say as soon as our category were done, we didn't realise that we'd won. Mark, up and he gone for a wee. I think you were looking for more free beer, if you want me to be honest. But you're gone. So, yeah, afterwards came out, went into like another bar area, and it was just, a networking event.
More free drinks.
Fantastic.
Breadsticks. Well, that's what got us talking to another podcast there. We saw a table with some breadsticks and thought, I want some breadsticks. So I'm off over there to where them breadsticks are.
Some blokes talking about Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Video game.
Yeah. Oh, this is, I think you've told me about this one. Is it the... computer game
podcast.
Yes.
Really nice fellas. And we got talking to them, and what really nice is, so they've been podcasting for like 8 years,
right?
And although it is about gaming, if you like, they talk about all sorts, and they go off on tangents, and you can really tell that they really get on. Do you know what I mean? Like real good friends.
You know,
like us, like us that, you know.
I can't let you mentioned that previously when we spoke, and I went and I listened to them, and you're right, they're very good.
Yeah.
They are really good. They go off on all sorts of tangents, nothing to do with computer games.
Yeah.
They do sound very similar to us.
Yeah,
you know.
Very funny.
I think there might be a couple more of them, actually. It sounds like sometimes there's like five of them.
There were, well, I was definitely talking to two guys, and there were definitely two more that were stood with them.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many there are in total. But like I say, I just found it really interesting that
you know, they'd been doing it 8 years. So obviously I just wanted to pick the brain.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
A lot of people that we spoke to was like very, very congratulatory of us. The yeah. fact that we'd not even been...
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah. the fact that we'd not even been doing it a year and we'd been, you know, not shortlisted as finalists for the awards. And everything that we told them about, whether it be as listeners or as numbers or whatever, people were very, very impressed. Very impressed with what we've managed
to
do.
Isn't it?
So it was nice. It was nice to hear that we're on. You know, we're doing well, and that you know. And I said to the guy, I said, look, by all means, have a listen to ours. Well, he said he was going to have a listen, which everybody says everybody's going to have a listen. But he was like, no, I genuinely will have a listen. Mm. And I said, look, you've been doing it a long time. By all means, give us any feedback. Send us any feedback. You know, we want to learn. And he did. He, literally the day after, didn't he? Emailed and said, look, you wanted feedback. Here it is. Your podcast is bloody brilliant.
It was
really nice.
Nice guy.
And to hear that's from someone that's been in the industry a long time. So, I know they've given us a shout out on their podcast. Yeah. So thank you very much. Yep. We really appreciate
that. Thank you,
David,
for that,
and
guys.
You know, anyone wants to go and have a listen, go and have a listen. It's a funny yeah. podcast. Have a
computer
listen,
game it? Podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, we didn't win, but it was great. Great event. Great event to go down there and experience. And there's always next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I won't drop my phone next year. Because that's now two replacement screens my phone's had.
Oh, did you smash your screen as well?
I didn't smash it. I just dropped it. And then the screen just went off. That rate broke it. Oh. So it didn't. It's like, you couldn't physically see it. It weren't like a cracker out. It just, nothing.
Yeah. Oh dear.
So I took it to a phone repair place.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah. Well, that'd be £250, please. That'd charm me.
Ouch.
And then we nearly had to pretty much run for train back because we left too late, and then I was stressing that we weren't going to get back in time.
Oh yeah.
And let's say Mark had had a sherbet or two.
I don't.
Yeah, not me again.
I don't remember getting the train back.
Really?
Oh no.
I mean, in fairness, we were only late. Not because we were incompetent or were drinking, because we were talking and networking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people wanted to talk to us, and we wanted to talk to them.
Had you got an acceptance speech prepared? Had you thought of anything that you were going to say?
No.
Did anyone actually get up on the stage when they won to say anything?
Yeah, you go up, you got called out, and so they listed the shortlists and then the winner, and then you went up and you had your picture took on stage with your award and whoever representing it and stuff. And then they took you out of like a side door. And then they told us that there was like a photographer and someone like back there where you would have your videographer.
Tell him, Rob.
And basically that's where they would ask you a bit about, you know.
Right. Okay.
I mean, they did say the presenter. Yeah. She did say, look, there's going to be no speeches tonight. There's no time for speeches. You're not coming on part mic. She said it as blunt as that, don't think you're coming on mic. We don't want to hear you. You have a photo and you're off stage, you know. But she said it in a joking way.
It was quite funny because she were quite like, she weren't holding back on her P's and Q's. Do you know what I mean? She were effing and jeffing and telling some jokes and you know, talking about this and that. And
she was very funny.
It were funny. We were funny, and she literally like was letting rip with certain things, like sexual connotations and stuff like that. And then one of the awards, they announced the winner, and this kid got up. He must have been nine-year-old, or whatever, up onto stage to collect his award. And obviously doing a great job. You know, he's won an award at that age and stuff. And as he walked out that side door, she just, like, looked at the audience and, like, stopped and looked down at my microphone and just went, somebody couldn't have told me there were a child in the audience. Nobody could have just mentioned it, that there were a child in the audience. It was quite funny.
Brilliant. Well, I look forward to hopefully being able to come next year.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
No, hopefully. You are coming.
I absolutely will be there next year.
Unless it's in Barbados, still in a video.
We are putting it in your diary.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know it fills up quick.
I mean, that's hoping that we get shortlisted.
It looks like you're going to say something.
I were. I'm trying to find a moment where it like fits.
Okay. There's one right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I've been away as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Dwayne.
I went on holiday. After I went to... doing my TripAdvisor review at the hospital. Yeah, we went to Spain, and we were there at the time where they had those really, really bad floods up in Valencia.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Where we were just down the coast from Malaga. We were in Benalmadena, and one of the days they had to close Malaga Airport because it had flooded. So we were like, oh, this is getting bad. fortunately, where we were, it, you know, although there were some issues and some shops got flooded, we were okay. But
were it like flash floods where it was just...
Yeah, well, what they'd put it down to is they said because they've had a drought earlier on in the year, the ground was so hard, then they'd had something like, it was either 6 months or a year's worth of rain within a matter of hours. Right. And the ground literally just couldn't do anything with it. And it just ran off the hills and just flooded villages, washed cars.
You know when they say that like they've had a month's worth of rain in like in 2 hours or something? Mm. It makes me sometimes think, well, obviously they've had a month's worth of rain in 2 hours, but like... If they've had just that, if they've had, I'm not explaining myself very well.
In fact, you're not explaining yourself at all because you're not using any words.
As expected.
let me start again.
Not much better.
A long time ago, I can still remember.
When they said they've had 2 hours of
rain.
I'm getting confused myself. When they've had a month's worth of rain in 2 hours, right? Mm. Right. I go, okay. But...
Who to?
Well, to the...
That's what you'd say to the general population, you'd say, right. Okay.
And they go, well, that's not normal. Right, okay, fine. But, like, if they...
Well, it wouldn't be, because otherwise it'd have been a month's worth of rain in a month.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And we said that in this country, don't we, when we have floods. Like, when we had floods in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Right, they'll go, oh, yeah, we've had... Now, but we can't say that anymore, because... We've had that flood before, so that's not. It's now. I'm not explaining myself.
No.
But what I'm saying is, we've gone past the average now again, haven't we?
Well, it'll have increased the average, but it still won't increase the average to a month's worth.
No, I know, but it
it's just happened once before.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. They'll go, oh, well, we've had.
Do you want to go and have a lie down?
They'll go, we've had a month's worth of rain. Like, so I'm like, yeah, but it's now averaged out, so it's
no, they're not having it every 2 hours.
No, but they have it a lot. Don't they?
No.
Okay. Anyway, carry on.
But anyway.
Anyway, carry on, Mark.
I forgot what we were going to say.
You're on holiday.
We rained.
It were a lovely place.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the lightning, the storms were absolutely out of this world. We were out walking and stuff and stood watching lightning over at sea. And then seeing lightning back in the hotel and stuff and just all the way around the forks. It was just incredible. Never seen... lightning like it.
You said it almost as if it was a part of the holiday experience.
It was.
Because we were on holiday and we experienced the storm.
It was incredible. You
know, was it nice hotel? Good hotel?
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. Great pool. Obviously, weather weren't overly kind
to us.
Did
it get better, the weather? Did you?
It was warm throughout. Mm. There were a couple of days that were really sunny. But generally speaking, it was mainly overcast. We had some spells of sunshine and weather, but, you know, it was a really nice, relaxing holiday. We went down to the marina and stuff. And I'll tell you something, one thing blew my mind, and I've clearly not been to a Japanese restaurant before. And I didn't realise, actually, I've left them a review saying how fantastic we're in. I even wrote in the review, don't ignore what you see from the outside, because when you get inside... Walking through marina, and then we just saw this side street, and we could see there were some bars and restaurants and whatever, and they got the furniture outside. And I said, oh, we'll sit here and have a couple of drinks. And we sat there, and then we noticed to the side there were a sushi restaurant. Darcy loves sushi, but granted, the sushi that we get is usually from the supermarket. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So let's have proper sushi.
Mm-hmm. In Spain,
yeah. Well, do you know what? Well,
I'll come to something else
in a second. So we sat there having a couple of drinks because this place opened, I think it was 3 o'clock, whatever it opened. And they just like wheeling tables out at back and stuff. And I was like, don't really look like much this bar, this restaurant sort of thing. Although it got all the signage and everything. I thought, well, do you know what? So I went over to the guy and I said, excuse me, mate, what time do you open? He took about 3 o'clock. Anyway, so I said, what is it? Is it a buffet? Is it? He said, oh, yeah, there's a couple of options. Anyway, give me the menu. So we went and we were having a look at it. So we were sat there and we said, right, we'll go in when it opens. So we walked through this door inside, and then the restaurant opened up, and I was like, wow, this is really nice in here. And it didn't doesn't look anything like from the outside, which is why I wrote on the review. Anyway, we sat there. Next thing I hear is this, hello. And this robot come past me with the eyes blinking up front of it. Hello. And it like went across and it was serving tables, this robot. And I was like, this has blown my mind. So then guy comes round and take a seat and he's showing his, he brings his tablet and it's right, this is how you do your ordering. And you can have, I think it's you can order 5 things at a time and you get 10 return trips of the robot. If there's anything that's got a number in brackets after it, that's how many items you get on that particular item. And if there's anything with a price on it, it's extra, you know, aside of what you're paying for your all-you-can-eat buffet sort of thing. No problem. So you get 10 trips on this thing. I think we managed 2. We were absolutely stuffed. And it wasn't a lot, but it was just beautiful food. Really, really nice food. And this robot just comes around and it's blinking eyes on front of it. And it'll say...
Is it like on wheels?
It must be. Yeah. You don't walk. Yeah. So it's on wheels. Yeah.
You just say robot, so.
Yeah, well, it's a robot, but it's like got trays in the back of it.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen one before. I've never seen it in action, but I've seen a picture of one.
Yeah, if you saw it in a like sort of stationary position, you'd think it was just like a somewhere you put your trays. But it's motorised and it comes around and it talks. I have your order. And then you take your trays off and then it goes, thank you. And then it goes off and you're like, honestly, incredible. I absolutely loved it. Anyway, it was the last day, I think. We'd been to this marina a few times, but this one day we walked round a different way. And then we walked round the front of this restaurant. So what we'd walked in when we'd gone in and left is the back door. So like where they take their orders and deliveries and stuff.
Right, you'd walk through kitchen.
Yeah, well, when we went out and we'd left him a tip and everything, I seen him thanking us all and everything. And they were all like stood there looking at us and I thought they were like, you know, being a... We were walking out back. And then it went until that day, we walked across front and there was this massive glass like balustrade sort of thing across front, like a balcony thing. Nice glass doors, all beautiful scenery. And I was like, oh, this is a nice looking restaurant. Anyway, that one.
That'd be the only way to get Mark Hill into a Michelin star restaurant, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Through
a cellar.
Well, listen, Mark, if you want to relive your robot moment, there's a restaurant on West Street in Sheffield that uses those robots.
Well, I've heard that that's the case, and I'm going to be paying him a visit because it blew my mind. I loved it.
I think it's a Thai restaurant. Me and Nania's been to it, and those same robots come out.
Right.
And they serve you and they talk to you. Although they're very good, I find them a bit gimmicky.
Oh, no. I mean, have one. If they weren't £15,000, I'd have one.
I know, but...
15 grand.
Yeah.
I want it to make me tea for that.
As soon as I saw it, I will like Googling it.
I know, but what are they bringing to the party? Because somebody's going to put the food on it, on sushi? The robot.
No, but drinks.
Yeah, but a person can bring this stuff.
No, it's not the same.
And certainly cheaper.
In the long run, maybe.
Do you think so?
Well, it is. That person walking backwards and forwards to kitchen and back is someone at kitchen cooking.
The bigger question, which we won't discuss today, but the bigger question is should we be using them? That's the question.
Well, yeah.
I don't see it.
There were a couple of things that got me questioning, like, what, you know... Oh, I don't know if you went all-inclusive when you went to Malta or you went self-catering or whatever.
Yes.
Well, because we went out of season, I wasn't overly sure as to what to expect when we got there. So we said, we'll play it safe. We booked somewhere that got pools, obviously, loads of slides for Darcy. We went all-inclusive so that we got that. We knew that, because with it being sort of October time, if things were closing down a little bit, we'd have the safety of the hotel. We ended up going out quite a lot because they were more open than we expected.
Yeah.
But there were, like, strange things on the all-inclusive. So you go for breakfast... And they'd be like garden peas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, mashed potatoes with everything. And you were like...
Mark would have loved this.
What? Why?
Well, you like your mashed potato and your peas, don't you?
Okay, well, yeah. Well, I don't like, but not for breakfast.
They weren't mashed potatoes for breakfast. They were like garden peas for breakfast.
Hang on.
It said mixed vegetables.
So there's no mashed potato for breakfast?
Well, there is, but I'll come to that in a second. So there's like, it said, I looked at this thing and it said mixed vegetables. And I was like, mixed vegetables? And they were just peas. And I was like...
Peas mixed together?
Well, yeah.
What, with other peas?
Not only is it odd enough that they've got garden peas for breakfast, they've got mixed vegetables, but there's no vegetables, it's just peas.
Maybe there was mixed, but someone went and just ate
all the carrots.
Ones.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, but it got me thinking, because when you were like, you go to All Inclusive and you're like, oh, you're walking around, aren't you? And you're like, oh, I'll have some of them. And there were like people eating pizza and mashed potato, and they were like...
For breakfast?
Well, no, just, you want a pizza for breakfast. Well, I don't know,
you said there's mashed potato on it.
Well, yeah, but it's like the random order that you just pile stuff on your plate, and you go, oh, I'll have some of them.
I do that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
But just like how random it is, and you just go, oh, I'll have some of them, and I'll have some, you know...
Did you try some of that you posted on group?
Well, I was going to come to that. So I don't know what it is. I've not Googled it. And it's, right, I shit you not, it's called rape.
Oh, right.
Do you know, the actual dish, when I looked at it in the tray, it looks really nice. It almost looks like...
What is it?
I don't know. I ain't Googled it. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And do you know how it translates? I don't know if which way it would translate, whether it was English into Spanish or the other way around. The other alternative name for it was snuff.
Oh, rips.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looked like a casserole in a dish. It looked really nice. But there were nobody asking
for it. Is it a Spanish dish then, I presume? It must be.
Did you try it?
No.
Oh. Mm. Just because of what it were called?
Yeah. It put me about. I was like, oh, I don't really fancy it.
Do you two know what it is?
No.
No?
Oh.
I've never heard of it.
I thought you... You were a football shoot too.
Something that that did me head in a little bit, and I don't know if it bothers you, Rob. I mean, you get on plane and they're doing the old speeches initially, aren't they? You get the flight attendants and they do the, you know...
Why are you asking only Bob?
Well, because Rob went on holiday. Away.
Well, I've been on a plane before.
Have you? I don't suppose, did that break down as well? And then they say, right, they start off, can you please make sure you're all listening, you're all paying attention, don't wear any your headphones or anything like that during this the presentation or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Safety
briefing.
Safety briefing.
And there's loads of people with their headphones on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why aren't you listening? And they do say that there are times where they will say something that will be different on one plane to another plane, even though you've been on a plane 100 times, something could change on that particular one. And then there's still people with headphones on, and I'm like, why would you be so ignorant?
I must admit, I kept mine on when I were on mine, but I turned them off.
I hate you.
No. I turned the music off, and I just had pass-through on, because I've got the AirPods, so I could still hear them.
It's on pass-through.
It's on pass-through, yeah. Yeah. I probably should have took them off, actually, like you said, just to show them that I was listening, but I was listening.
Yeah. And then they're like, sign will come up and say, right, seatbelts on, we're in a bit of turbulence, toilets, you can't go to the toilet. And then loads of people go to the toilet, and you're like, you just said you can't go to the toilet. Yeah. I'm turning into Mark here. There's loads of people who shouldn't eat toilet, that didn't eat toilet because they told them they can't go.
Yeah. Welcome to the world we live in.
Oh, wow.
Well, while we're talking about flights, did I mention, you know when we did an episode about flying and planes and that, did I mention about people who don't put the phones on flight mode?
Did
I mention it?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Ah.
Should we move on then?
We'll cut that bit out.
You can go back to that episode.
And what was the conclusion of it?
That we don't know why, we don't know what the point is.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what I didn't tell you. When we booked and on the we flew with Ryanair because it was part of this package thing. And as part of it, I'd got something called Express Bag Drop.
Oh, that sounds great.
I think everyone gets it, to be honest. I don't know. I might have paid a bit extra for it. I don't know. Anyway, so we're stood in airport and we're at the gate. So the gate's open. Woman comes there. She was checking your passport.
Are you coming or going?
We were going. Okay. We're going at this point.
Yep.
And we were stood in this, you know, those barriers with the pullback. What did he call them? Retractable barrier things. We were stood in this line in there, and then the woman's checking passports and boarding passes. But there's a queue next to us formed on the outside of this barrier, and she's checking all theirs, and they're just getting straight on plane. We've been stood there about 10-15 minutes. So I'm like, what's going off here? Why are they getting through there quicker than... So I lift that barrier up. Come on, Ellen, we're going around this side because he gets served quicker than what this one does. Anyway, when I got to the front, and there was a guy and his wife and a child at the front of the queue that we were behind initially. I went, come on, mate, you've been waiting ages. You go first. He went, oh, woman says to him, oh, have you paid for priority boarding as well? Yeah. And I'm like, ah. Oh, and I didn't realise we hadn't paid for priority boarding.
Yeah.
Got that guy priority. He jumped on. He was straight on plane. But then we were straight on. I thought the express bag drop thing. Initially, I didn't realise that because there were no signs to say that this is priority boarding. There were no signs. They were just getting so quick, and I'm thinking, what's all that about?
Mark, you have to lead to me, haven't you?
We got it for free.
To be fair, these days, anything that says express normally takes longer than the normal queue because
everybody
wants express. They end up being longer.
Yeah.
So that was holiday.
Sounds lovely, mate.
But good. I have got something else to say. I'm going to play you a clip. Can you remember Mark Morrison?
Yes.
Is that Return of the Mac?
Of the Mac.
You need to be a DJ.
He could be, couldn't he?
He could.
Well, anyway, he did another song, right? And I'd forgotten all about it. Me and Ellen were watching telly on Friday night. There were an old Top of the Pops on from 1996. And obviously, you've got to watch it for nostalgia. And Mark Morrison was on singing a song called Trippin'. Can you remember it?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to play you a clip of it.
I thought you were going to say the other one, but...
I'm going to play you a clip of it. So, it goes like this. Right, right? Ellen says, I'm not surprised. I says, what are you on about? He'd got this massive big fur coat on. She went, I'm not surprised he's dripping. I said, I burst out laughing. I went, what? She goes, he's dripping. I went, he's singing, he's dripping on you. And he said, what do you think, he's incontinent or something? You know, like rappers have these big fur coats, don't they? They certainly did it in the 90s. I said, Ellen, it's called tripping, not dripping.
Brilliant.
Time at the bar, please.
Shall we spin the wheel?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it gonna be? Oh, I'm so excited.
Go on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Right, so this week we've actually got two things to go through, because last week we forgot to mention AI Jukebox Jam.
Yeah.
I never gave the answer.
Did we?
Yeah. It was pointed out by one of our listeners. So,
Tracy.
Thank you. So, it went like this. Something by someone celebrates youthful joy, freedom, and the thrill of dancing, capturing the euphoria of living in the moment.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know it until when Mark's guess... when he guessed last time.
I didn't guess.
No, other one.
Well, because Mark said Footloose.
He did, and I just kind of went, yeah, that's got to be it. That's got to be it.
Mark?
Well, I didn't... I didn't have... When you read it out first time, I didn't have a clue. But then you've just read it out again.
Yeah.
I know you've read the same words, by the way.
Yeah.
And I just thought Footloose then.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, funnily enough, I read it back forgetting that I'd done it, and I thought Footloose, but it's not right.
Is it Dirty Dancing?
What is it?
Dirty Dancing?
It's not Dirty... No, you just said that, but it's not that either, no.
Oh,
now I'm thinking, what did I guess?
Closer, though.
Oh.
What did I guess?
Greece.
What did you guess? I don't know what you guessed.
I can't remember what I guessed first. I just put it out of my head, because I just thought Mark's right with Footloose.
No.
Fame?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess.
No.
Ghostbusters?
No. Are you ready?
Say it again. Say it one more time, because I was adamant that it was going
to
be Footloose.
I need to guess it now. Something by someone celebrates youthful joy, freedom, and the thrill of dancing, capturing the euphoria of living in the moment.
Saturday Night Fever?
Nope. Oh.
I Don't Feel Like Dancing by the Scissor Sisters?
Nope.
I mean,
you're going on the right lines, but there's probably one that you've not mentioned that you go, oh, yeah. I'm not entirely sure it fully gives it away, that, to what it is.
It's Raining Men?
Nope.
Is it a film or a song?
It's a song.
It's a song.
Well, I thought we were guessing films.
AI Jukebox Jam.
AI Jukebox Jam, you numpty.
But you do the film one as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but it's not that one.
My point is, if you like, is if I don't know you.
Do you want the answer?
Scissor Sisters.
No, he's already said it. Oh. Dancing Queen, ABBA.
Oh. I hate that song.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
I really like ABBA, but I really don't like that song.
It's overplayed, that's what
it is. You overplay it. You've spoiled it for me. You.
So, yeah, anyway.
Listen, on that note, I do play different ABBA songs, and people come up to me and go, have you not got Dancing Queen? I'm like, really?
Right then, so the other one to go through is... What the bloody hell is that? I'm going to give it you one more time. You can give me a guess. If not, I'll give it away. Because, actually, have we had some people?
We have had some guesses.
Right, well, let me play it you. You ready? Right.
So, the guesses we've had so far. James Bob Rackham said, knowing how much Rob loves his caravan, I think the sound clip is a push lock on a caravan cupboard door.
Oh. That's very good, that.
I ain't got a caravan, so I don't know sounds.
Someone called Bev Louise is thinking it's maybe a stapler.
Right.
Tony Saunders thinks it's one of those. Remember those? You used to wear them. You used to put them to your eyes like a projector, and you clicked the slide.
The red thing.
Oh, the red thing.
The red Panavision.
Yeah. I don't know what you called them.
Slidoscopes.
I think they're called Panavisions or something.
Panavision thing. Panavision. You just put cards in. They used to turn.
Yeah. Gold writing.
Yeah. He thinks it's that.
Right.
Sue Scothern thinks it's a hole punch or a ring binder. And Polly Baxter says a stapler. Now, Rob Drummond thinks it's a rotating... You know those stamps that you change the date on them?
Yes.
And you press down to stamp it.
Yeah.
He thinks it's that. And then Mike Roberts is going to stick his neck out and say that he reckons the sound on episode 50 is a credit card imprinter.
Oh, right. a manual.
Oh, those manual things. That
I'm not sure you've got one of them, have you, Rob?
So, any of you, anything?
No, I thought the hole punch was a good guess.
I still think it's some a VHS old thingy Betamax button thing cassette.
My last guess, I think, listening to it again now, is I'm going to say it's something like a battery getting clipped into a Dyson Hoover or something.
Right. Okay.
Recordless. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. I can tell you that one of them was right. Ooh. Not what you said, but one of them said.
Oh, one of his listeners.
One of his listeners got it right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the reloading stamp.
Is it? Really?
Yeah. So, you know, you press it down and it flips.
Yeah.
It stamps and then it flips back up and attaches itself to the ink.
Yeah, so, yeah. Rob Drummond's got it right.
Well done,
Rob.
Wow.
Congratulations. I'll play it one more time now you've heard it. And now you'll probably get it.
No,
you
brilliant.
Can hear it. No. I can absolutely hear it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Well, I can hear it.
I know
because I've got ears, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, reloading stamp was the correct
one. Reloading stamp. Brilliant.
Well done.
Well done, Rob.
We didn't get it.
Okay, so, ready to spin the wheel?
Let's spin it.
What's she gonna be?
What is it?
Hey!
It's
yours, Mark. What is it? I can never see from here. What is it?
This day in history.
Yeah.
This day in history. I love this one. I do love this one.
We bring to you today's broadcast.
I have a dream.
They think it's all over. It is.
One small step for man.
You must stay at home.
Today in history.
Right, so it's this day in history. So it's me again.
You've written it all on the postage stamp again, I see.
I'm always prepared.
Is that the same piece of paper, but you've written on the back?
Oh, my days.
No, that's just some scrap paper.
That writing
is
ridiculously small.
What's the matter?
Why do you write it so small?
Because I've only got a small piece of paper.
It's tiny.
Yeah, but I can see it with my glasses on.
We'll see.
What does that say?
Yeah, what does that say again?
It's not the size of the writing that's the problem. It's my writing that's the problem. So if I write it on a big piece of paper, the writing would be bigger.
Yeah.
And easier to see?
No, because I won't be able to read my writing.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
No.
Not really.
Okay. Well, all right, let's do Danish history. So 15th of November, then, as normal, we'll start way back in, you know, time of blob. So 1492 here.
Wow.
A tobacco is the first recorded incidence.
What?
Instant. See what I mean?
I can read it.
Come on. What is it?
So 1492.
Yeah.
What's the tobacco bit?
Did you not hear it? Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
No. So 1492 was the first time tobacco was recorded in history. It has been known. Does that mean... Does that make sense?
Not really.
Why does that not make sense?
So for starters, are we talking about tobacco?
Tobacco.
Right, not tobacco.
What did I say? Tobacco.
Tobacco.
Did I say it? Did seriously?
Yeah, you did. Yes.
I meant tobacco.
Cool. Next.
No, I've not. Yeah, who do you think mentioned it?
Oh.
So
you?
I'm not allowed. 1491, nobody's heard of tobacco.
It was 1492 a minute ago.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And then a year later, somebody goes outside and goes, what's that growing in my garden?
That's my
point. Oh, it's tobacco.
That's my point. 1491, nobody's heard of tobacco. 1492, they've heard of tobacco.
Right.
Because it was Christopher Columbus that discovered it.
Was it?
And came and said, right, we'll call that tobacco.
Oh, right.
There you go.
What did they call it before?
Well, nobody knew what it were.
What's that? Oh, no, never mind.
So, Christopher, he'd not seen it.
Mm.
So they can't name it if they don't see it.
So Christopher named it then. He said, I'm going to call that tobacco.
Yeah.
I wonder why I called it tobacco.
Well, I don't know. That's like saying, why is them headphones called headphones?
Yeah, because they're going red.
I'm taking that back home.
No, but why phones?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're digressing here. 1532, right? Pope Clement VII tells Henry VIII to end his relationship with Anne Boleyn.
Oh.
And that didn't go well, did it?
Because
she got her head chopped off.
Yeah.
1904.
That's a big jump.
I know, not really happened much. Right. I mean, there's not much happening here on 15th of November, but 1904. Right, I quite like this one. This is a good one. Kim Camp Gillette.
What?
Yeah, exactly. King Camp Gillette.
Does he shave William Brace?
It's not what he's saying. It's not what he's
changed.
He started off with Kimp Camp.
King Camp. What? Have you got not ears, you
King
freak?
Camp Gillette.
1904.
Yeah.
King Camp Gillette.
Does he shave like with a limp wrist?
Hiya. Granted the patent for the safety razor.
Oh.
So Gillette, the company as we know today, he invented
the
it.
The best a man can get, apparently.
In 1904.
And he was a king?
Well.
It was camp.
Well, he wasn't a king and he wasn't camp. That was his name.
Oh.
Because I researched it a bit more because I was like, it's an unusual name. Yeah. A, was he camp, and B, was he a king?
And he's been named after a razor.
Neither.
Was he not the best a man could get?
Ain't you what you say?
Was he the best a man could get?
Well, they weren't camp. So, 1969, a big jump again.
Yeah.
The first Wendy's that opens in Columbus, in America.
What's Wendy's?
It's a burger place, isn't it?
You know Wendy's?
I've heard of it, yeah. I thought it was a house.
An house.
Wendy's house.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. 1969. Okay. Same year. Busy year.
Same day. Same year.
Same day, same year.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody had a burger.
Yeah. That's right.
Is that real?
No. The first ever colour TV advert was on ITV in the Midlands, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. What was the advert? What do you think the advert was?
Mm.
And what was the TV programme it was interjected with? Does that make sense?
No.
So the advert was obviously in the middle of a programme.
So what was the programme it was on in the middle of?
And what was it advertising in
1969?
The programme was Coronation Street.
1969.
Yeah,
right.
It wasn't
Coronation Street, no.
Oh,
and it was the first ever colour TV advert, not the first advert, just the first colour.
So I'm going to go for the news at 10. Right. You looked at me with a serious face there.
No. And you're all okay.
I've no idea.
So I'm going to say the advert was radio rentals.
I think it was for spam.
Right, okay. Well, which one do you want first?
The programme.
It was Thunderbirds.
Oh. And the advert was for Thunderbird toys.
No, you'd think so, wouldn't you? No, it was for Bird's Eyes peas.
Oh, I went far off.
Well, we have them for breakfast.
Food.
You have them for breakfast, yeah.
Well, the advert was only in one colour, green.
Yeah. I know, they didn't think that through, did they? 1971, Intel released their first product. It was the 4004 processor chip.
Ooh.
And how much do you think it was? So Intel, obviously...
It'd be in dollars, wouldn't it?
What year?
1971.
So they'd done chips before this, but this was the first one commercially available.
$1,200.
I'm going to say, bear in mind it's 1971, I'm going to say £200.
I'm going to say $500.
Wait, can we have it in dollars, please?
$200.
$200, what was yours, Kirk?
$1,200.
Yeah.
$500.
It was $60.
Six.
Wow. But bear in mind, $60 back then was probably more like £200-300.
No.
Or dollars.
No.
No?
No. It would have been about £20.
What?
Dollars? You got more dollars for your pound.
Yeah, all right. Let's call it dollars then. $60 back then would be more
sorry,
like...
from inflation-wise.
Yeah, inflation-wise,
right,
yeah.
Okay,
as in, so it's a lot more... not a lot of money now, but was back then.
Hello, boys, can we come back to my day in history?
Course, hey, course, Mark, what are you doing here?
I'm doing my day in history, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Right, 1990...
16th of November now.
1990, you'll know this one. Milli Vanilli producers announced it wasn't them singing on the songs. You remember?
Yeah.
I don't.
No. I was only 8.
I don't even know Milli Vanilli is.
I don't know who Milli Vanilli is.
Do you not know?
It's an ice cream.
Do you not know? Do you not know who Milli Vanilli is?
No. A duo.
Wow. Mark, do you want to fill them in?
Not really. They've not really annoyed me that much.
This is not a list of annoyance.
They were a musical duo, and they turned out.
I think they were Italian, weren't they? Were Italian?
Well, you weren't actually. It would lend itself to that, wouldn't it, Milli Vanilli?
I think they were Italian.
Yeah. Just one corner to... Oh, I'm going with that. What am I saying?
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, anyway, they were very popular, and then it turned out that they were miming.
Wow. Oh, right.
They were miming
Somebody on stage behind curtains, I think, singing while they were on stage.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Singing in the
rain. Bear in mind, they'd won awards for this as well. They won MTV awards and stuff like Grammys.
Wow. Lip sync awards.
They were stripped of all these awards after it came out. So, and one of them's dead now. Not because he weren't singing on it, but 2001, Microsoft entered the video games market with their first games console, which is the Xbox, what game launched with it? Do you know?
Halo.
Halo. That's right.
Oh, well done, Kurt.
And then in 2013, on the same day...
Halo 2.
So that was 2001. 2013, Sony releases their PlayStation 4 in USA.
Oh.
And how many do you think they sold in 24 hours?
What, PlayStation 4s?
Yeah.
250,000.
Oh, more than that.
I'm going to go from 1.5 million.
Yeah, I think I'd have gone for more like 3 million.
You're closest, Mark. They sold 1 million in 24 hours. And then 2022, the world population reaches 8 billion just 11 years after passing 7 billion. Mm. And we expect it to hit 9 billion in the year 2037.
37?
2037.
Wow. I thought it'd been before that.
The thing is with these numbers, like it says here, world population reaches 8 billion. I mean, it's not going to be 8 billion, is it? I mean, what I mean by that is that they don't know really how many people...
They've done that in 2 hours. Normally do it in a month.
No, but they're not really... I don't think there's no accurate way of knowing how many people there is on planet, is there?
It's called a census.
You're saying, not to the actual number, no, but I reckon it'll be a damn good guess, good educated guess. Yes.
Well, I reckon it would be, but I reckon there could be a billion people out there.
No, no way.
You think not?
No
so?
Way. A billion is a lot.
Well, all right, 1 million then.
Well, maybe. Like I said, there might be a few out.
Anyway, so as usual, I'll do my national day. So national days today is clean out your refrigerator day.
Oh, right. I better do that then when I get home.
I mean, I don't know why it's refrigerator day, because we don't call them refrigerators, do we?
No.
So maybe it's an American thing. And also, it's also national I love to write day.
Ah. Very small, on a very small piece of paper.
That's right, yeah. And also, my last thing I always do, if it's your birthday today, you would have been conceived on the February the 22nd. And that's this day in history.
Well
on,
done,
on
Mark.
15th of November. I really
do like your day in history. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
I've got one question before we go.
For me?
Actually, it's for Rob and Mark, other Mark.
Oh.
So, you've been to Malta?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice plane ride over.
Yeah.
Nice plane ride back.
Yeah.
Chilled out a little bit in Malta.
Yeah.
Mark, been to Bella Medina, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Nice plane ride there.
Yeah.
Nice plane ride back.
Yeah.
Chilled out around the pool a little bit.
A little bit.
Cool. What do you reckon to my book?
You writing a book?
You see, don't ask me because I've read it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I couldn't fit it in my bag.
Oh, right, okay.
It's a lot of paper printed off that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, my apologies.
You don't mean it, though. You don't mean it.
I put all the effort into reading it the first time, and then you decided to go back and change it all.
He keeps using this.
Listen, just before we shoot off, I've just got a couple of things. I just want to shout out to Steve Cakebread. Cakebread? Yeah, that's his name.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite funny because Ellen calls bread cakes cakebreads. And not to make fun, but anyway, he wrote into a local newspaper and they've been out and took photos and they're doing a write up about us because he was like, you guys need to know about what we're doing in this podcast.
Oh, brilliant.
So, nice one, Steve. Great. So,
yeah, thank you, Steve.
And the other one is to Bobby, who made the secret sauce. And it's just a bit of an earworm, really.
Okay.
It's a bit of an earworm. I played it on the coach one. We were all going to Twickenham, I think we were. And I played it on coach and it got stuck in everyone's head. So I'm just going to finish with eggs, sausage, chips and beans, chips and beans, eggs, sausage, chips and beans. Because you were expecting it when we were talking about eating breakfast and whatever the other week. So anyway, on that note...
Thank you very much, yeah.
Yep. Roll the theme tune.
See you next week, boys.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.